This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we discuss a Westbow Press release titled Shared Messages, Inspired by Christmas and Life. Our author is Colleen Lear Hosford. Colleen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and good morning to you.
Good morning. This is not a novel in the typical sense, or is it a fiction? This is a collection of stories that you have put together over an extended period of time that are Christmas and Christian faith oriented. Am I understanding this correctly?
That's right.
Colleen, what motivated you to put this book together?
Well, for many years, I've had responses to my writings that I've done for Christmas letters, and my friends have even asked for copies when they wanted to share them and had misplaced them. And after realizing that people did really find value in what I'd written, I've decided this was something to do. But maybe I need to explain a little bit about my background. I know that everyone has different ways to deal with feelings, and for many years, even when I was young, when I was happy or sad or concerned or thankful or whatever my feelings might have been, I would go somewhere in private and write my feelings, and I usually would discard them after I wrote them and thought that everybody did the same thing. And one day my husband came home early and found me writing something, and when he came in, I just tossed it in the wastebasket, and he said, "What were you writing?" And he picked it up and read it, and he said, "Gee, this is something, you need to share what you wrote." And I said, "Well, don't you do that?" And he said, "No." And I realized that not everyone did this. That was the first, I just, you know, when you don't know that other people don't do it, you just didn't place a value on it. And from that point on, he encouraged me to share some of the things that I had written, and then from that I started writing some of these things for Christmas. So that's kind of the background. And when I started, I did go ahead and realize when people kept saying they wanted me to put these together. And then finally, one earlier this year, I had heard a sermon that was just very inspirational to me and made me realize I shouldn't put off something that I felt an urging to do, that I really felt the Holy Spirit was speaking to me to do what I was meant to do. And some of these things I've felt inspired to write, so I felt, okay, I'll put them together. So that's what finally motivated me.
Now, the back of your book says this collection of messages, we can enjoy a look into her life and ponder thoughts which help us better understand our Christian faith. It also describes you as a poet, not always with rhymes, but with messages. She has a way of catching you up in a moment of discovering simple truths in new ways. Do you have any of your passages you'd like to share with us this morning?
Well, I do. I could read a couple of things, and again, my friends have different ones that they have said they like the most, but I promised my husband I would read his favorite one to start with.
Well, you got to keep on the good side of the husband.
It's called The Baby Bird. And matter of fact, on the hardback of my book, they have put this one. They chose to put it on the back of it. So maybe others will also enjoy it. I'll read it for you if you'd like.
Yes, yeah. Love to hear it.
Okay, it's called The Baby Bird. Oh, little bird, so frightened by yourself. Is the warmth of my hand the security you need, or only some gift of time? Those bright little eyes seem to say, I'm here. The chirp, when it comes, is clear. My touch seems to soften the loneliness. The hunger at first was true. For a moment, you ate. But now it's too late. Oh, how I wish I could help you. Perhaps I am helping your fear, knowing that love is near. Not frightened now, but your eyes seem to say, My day is short, but I hear you pray. Little bird, now quiet and still, you have touched my heart. Somehow you have entered my life and reminded me of a truth we tend to forget. God's world, with all his living creatures, is a gift beyond understanding. Farewell, farewell.
Beautifully put.
Well, as you can tell, this was not a rhymed or a poem as such. Many of my writings do have, you know, a poetry in it, but I happened to choose that one that was meaningful to him. And that one actually is the first of the second section of my book. So it's kind of hard to describe. I could read another one, but...
Yes, do you have something from the holiday season? We're about to enter the Christmas season, and it mentions in here that you have also reflected on that time of life. Is there something there that might be of special interest to us?
Okay. This one is, like I say, the first half of my book does deal with the Christmas letters that I've sent. This one is one, now again, this one is not in the poetry as you would think of rhymes. Some of them are, but this one is not. But it's titled, A Baby Was Born and the Earth Changed, and I'll be happy to read it if you would like.
Please do.
A baby was born and the earth changed, or did it? The earth and its peoples are very much the same, still encountering nature's disasters and death, still enjoying the sunrise and the sunset, adventures and earthly pleasures. Life's delights and heartaches are still here. But something changed. The world no longer is separated from God. We now have a constant love to lean on, no matter what life is about. We have a challenge to be better than we think we are, a role model to strive for, His Spirit to guide us, and forgiveness when we fail. We celebrate this season the birth of Jesus. He came not to change the world, but to change our understanding and living of life.
Tell me, are there themes in this book relevant to current events that you'd like to share or that you feel are important or relevant to the reader?
Well, some of them I've written, actually a couple of them that I put in as a devotional that I did in the second half of the book that was relating to 9/11, and that was very meaningful. And today's current events, I don't know, I don't have anything current except for the fact that it inspires you to have... the Spirit guide us in our decisions, and hopefully our leaders can turn to their faith to help guide our country at times like these and at other times. But no current events worldwide, but like I say, there are some things in the book that do have relations to current, you know, affairs in the world, and some of them are humorous even. I don't know. I even have some about my son's football when I had having three sons, and they all played all kinds of ball. So it's a variety of things in the book, and some mostly are serious, but there are some. And then I even had one, if you want to see a short one, that's about a good friend and I were on a trip with my husband and his wife, and he was one of these people that loved chocolate and would eat it whenever he had a chance, and we both always enjoyed the Snickers bars, and I wrote a little poem for him. I might read that if you would like.
Sure, share that.
This will be the last one for sure.
Okay.
It was called Sneak a Snickers. Once upon a trip, we discovered a truth. Some of us chocolate lovers are really uncouth. Candy bars hidden until just the right time help to create a slogan of one short line. Sneak a Snickers was the new coined phrase. Sneak a Snickers could become a craze. Ideals of commercials began to flow, sneaking Snickers everywhere people go. Although the fun thoughts came to rest and there were no advertisement requests, we must not forget our phrase and fun. who knows what our slogan might have become.
Oh, that's charming.
Snickers.
Charming, charming. And who does this book appeal to and why?
Well, as you can see, it's such a variety of things. I thought at first it would be adults only, but I must say that I think the children that have picked this up, they can find something in it to enjoy as well. So it's a variety of ages.
And people with a short attention span like I have can read a segment here and there and enjoy the book over time.
Well, I hope so. I think even though it deals with Christmas in the first part, it is something that can be read year-round. I was hoping that people would find it an excellent gift for Christmas, so that's something I was hoping that people would realize.
Well, it's good timing. I think we can share that information, and perhaps people will start finding the book and putting it on their wish list. How is this book different from others in the marketplace?
Well, as you can tell, it's a variety of things and of my experiences. So, and everyone has different experiences. So it is different, and I don't know, it's not a novel, but it's full of little gems I hope that you'll take with you.
Any challenging part to putting this together?
Well, mainly just the fact that I had to find certain things, you know, and trying to decide what to put in and how to arrange it, that was fairly challenging, yes.
Well, thank you for sharing your details about the book, Shared Messages, Inspired by Christmas and Life. Our author, Colleen Lear-Hosford. Thank you, Colleen, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Colleen, tell us where we can get copies of your book.
It's, of course, available on Barnes & Noble, online, and it's Amazon. But also, I have a new website that if you just would put my name in, Colleen Lear-Hosford, but if you just put in Shared Messages, that will come in. But if you put my website, Colleen Lear, or just Colleen, excuse me, ColleenHosford.com is my new website. It gives all of that, and you can go in there directly to purchasing it. So various ways to get it, and I appreciate all the people that might buy my book.
Excellent. And the correct spelling of your name is Colleen. Last name, Hosford. Colleen, thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
We look forward to hearing from you in the future. For Indie Book Publishing and Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi everybody, this is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet. to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we visit with author Carmion Owen to discuss a book he's written titled Know the Flow, 180 Blogs to Spiritual Awakening. Everyone is interested in spirituality today, and I welcome Carmion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jay.
Tell us, sir, how did you come to write this book? What was your motivation?
Well, the book started out not with the motivation of the book. It actually really started with the goal of journaling. And I don't know if you're familiar with this idea, but journaling is, you may have a diary, but journaling is a spiritual practice where you, on a daily or a regular basis, you'll just write down what's going on. And I was actually, I just started some training in the beginning of 2009 to become a licensed spiritual coach. And teachers have been telling me for years that journaling was a fantastic tool for revealing, you know, stuff in the subconscious. But the thing I was finding, I just wasn't listening to these teachers. You know, I was being given really good advice, and for whatever reason, and many spiritual seekers may relate to this, it took me a while to get round to it. And I went into a retreat a few weeks after starting that course with a bunch of other practitioners from the region, and the facilitator asked us to spend 10 minutes writing about our vision for soul's purpose. And when I wrote it down and I sat there and I waited, and then I waited to share my piece, the facilitator looked at me and said, Carmion, do you write? And I said, no. And she said, you know, well, you really should. And at that point, I think the idea of really blogging and writing started to sort of incubate. And then in 2011, I was inspired and encouraged to go to by a very good friend of mine to a writer's workshop in Toronto, the I Can Do It conference. And I flew across the country just for a six-hour workshop. And when I listened to what they were saying, they were talking about, well, if you want to get a nonfiction book published, you know, you should build a platform, you know, get Facebook, Twitter, and have a blog. And of course, I had all these things, and I suddenly realized that I needed to get clear about my intention as a writer. And I think at that point, that's when the goal of there being a book started to come into my awareness. And in 2012, then I get approached. I was approached by a publisher from Europe who focused and specializes in publishing blogs. And so they asked me, would you like to get your book published? And I started down the road with this organization, and what they did was that got me to create a manuscript. Now, in the end, I didn't proceed with them because of how they wanted to market the book, and they were really looking at treating it like an academic textbook, which is not. It's not the kind of book that you would, you know, use for a university course, right? And so I then set that down. And then in 2013, in February, I'm at a conference, a spiritual conference with the organization I serve with. And I mean, there's hundreds of people there, and I get a phone call. And it's from the another publisher who said, would you like to publish your book? And at the time, after this experience, I was like, you know, I wasn't certain. And then I said, you know, so I don't feel it's there. And they agreed, you know, they said, if you don't feel it, you shouldn't do it. But then in June, I'm at another conference, another spiritual conference, and they phone again. They only phoned me twice, and both times they said, are you ready to publish your book? And that second time, well, that was the third time, given the previous summer. I kind of realized that there wasn't just a goal to write a book, that I really felt the spirit was knocking on the door. And it was like, by the third time, it was like, okay, there's really something to be written here.
And did you already have the 180 blogs completed, or were you still in the process of putting those together?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Because I was blogging sometimes daily, at least every week, I mean, by the time I sat down in the middle of 2012, I had some 500-plus blogs. And that would have equated to about 300,000 words, which would have been like a 1,000-page monster book. And so I knew I had to shorten it down, but it was all in such perfect order because in 2012, the book simply wasn't ready. It took that extra year because then in 2011, I entered into ministerial studies. So to become someone who would be serving in a calling to lead a spiritual community. And so I was really doing a lot of growth, and I was blogging about that, learning some amazing tools. And when I went back this summer, in the summer of 2013, I looked through. I realized that my writing ability had developed, and I was taking on some controversial topics. I was getting feedback that my writing was more accessible, and I was really looking, or the blogs and the writing experience I was going through was really about a spiritual journey for the modern world. It was about, you know, my personal journey and writing about relatable experiences and then really offering that as inspiration and contemplation for others. So it really came together. Then when I sat down this summer, then I suddenly realized, oh, well, I could pick 180 blogs. And then there was the idea of, well, 180 degrees and turning around. So then it became a motif that there were two ways you could read the book. One, you could sit and read it from the beginning to the end. And another approach would be to just read an entry a day that would run from anywhere one to four pages. And then after 180 days, you know, you would have really had this soak in, and it would really shift your own and support your own spiritual awakening and turnaround.
Is there any short passage you could read to us to kind of give us an idea of the flow of the book?
Well, certainly. This one was written on June 16th this year, and it's actually the last entry in the book. And whilst this is a nonfiction book, because it is a series of journal entries that unfolded over a period of 4.5 years, you're getting to see a little bit of my story. And what happened was, I was coming back from an important exam, and I was on the road, and I checked in on my Facebook, and this is what came together. So the blog is titled Getting Father's Day. After a weekend in Kelowna, Canada, I spent 6.5 hours taking my ministerial exam. I was struck by a powerful realization and deep sense of love about my father. I suspect I was triggered by all the loving, happy Father's Day Facebook messages. Whatever the cause, I wrote the following. Dear Dad, I didn't know you very well. You chose heroin over me and left my life when I was 4 years old. I met you once again when I was 14 and got to hear about the three children you had since had. Today, I realize that your meeting that 14-year-old must have stirred up so much pain for you, reminders of your broken past, your shame. I feel such compassion for you, only able to imagine what it must be to peer into life through the filters of drugs and loneliness at the empty bed I had left behind. And after 28 years, I can feel that. I forgive you. But more than that, I love you, Dad. You brought me into this world. We made a sacred soul agreement, you and I, and you saw to your end. You provided me with exactly the experiences I needed. I am becoming so much more than I sense you could have dreamed. I don't know if you are alive, but knowing that there is one mind, I know that these loving words reach you in some way. Happy Father's Day. It took me long enough, but I really feel love for you. May you know the love of all your children. For regardless of the choices of our history, there is the now. And in this now, I know such love for you. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Oh, beautifully written. I can see that in a Hallmark card. I hope they don't grab it and run with it, but it's a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Well, thank you very much. You know, what was interesting, of course, because I'm blogging, and so I'm on the road. I'm literally, you know, on my mobile phone. I'm on my smartphone, and I'm writing this on my blog. And then I link to that through my Facebook, and the Facebook just lights up. Like, you know, within an hour, there was like 50 comments. It really touched people, and that really is one of the core aspects of this book, is that, you know, everyone has a father, right? Now, depending, you know, on your particular story and history, you may or may not have a relationship of any tangible substance with your father, and I didn't. And this is, this is an example of my coming to terms with my history and growing in spite of my past. And, you know, it's a relatable experience, and that's what this book is filled with. It's filled with, you know, many different situations and experiences that many people are dealing with. I mean, you know, I'm nothing unique, you know, but what I am is I'm just someone who's taken the time to write about these experiences, my experiences, but to apply a spiritual truths and principles to it. And that's what I'm doing there. And through my forgiveness, through my act of forgiveness and gratitude, I'm lifted up, you know, as is everyone else.
How would you introduce this book to someone? And is there a specific market you're trying to appeal to?
Well, how would I introduce this to someone? I think really that I would say that this is a spiritual journey for the modern world. You know, really what it's about, it's looking at all sorts of different situations. You know, I get into how relationships dissolve, but we don't. I talk about the idea that, you know, I've had my dysfunctional family, but then really for anyone who doesn't have a dysfunctional family, and that really you can take comfort from what you read. You know, you can learn to grow despite your past, and there's a whole bunch of tools and ideas for your spiritual journey. Now, you may not, you're not going to relate to all 180 blogs. You know, you're not going to read all 180 blogs and go, oh yeah, I relate to every single situation, but there are going to be some that you'll relate to. You know, and I think the big thing to take away that for me, this started off as really an online journal. Now, I would say, if nothing else, start a journal. You know, if you read this book, I really hope that you'll be inspired first and foremost to start a journal, because you are the expert of you. Now, only you can really know what it is that you need to come to terms with, what it is, you know, the shadow that you need to surface from the subconscious. Only you can truly get to that. There can be teachers that point the way. There can be teachers that make suggestions, but you have to walk the path. And so a journal is a great way of walking the path. And it's a fantastic tool because it's a mirror. It reflects to you your truth. And then what I found was, and one of the beautiful things about the experience of preparing the manuscript and publishing was that twice, but in particular in 2013, I had to go through and reread over 700 blogs. And so I got to see the journey of my awakening. I got to see where I was in 2009. And you know how inspiring that was? I mean, it was unbelievably inspiring because I got to see how much I've grown. And that, you know, that will fill you with hope. So I hope that readers, you know, when they read this book, when they get into this book, they'll be inspired to journal. And there's another spiritual practice that I really get into and I talk a lot about and I become passionate about is meditation. Well, for me, meditation, anyone who's serious about awakening to their spiritual magnificence, I believe meditation is something that you have to incorporate. And a daily meditation practice is profound. And I say this and I share this from my personal experience. And in the book, I really get into that. You know, there are specific meditations. You know, I've got blogs talking about why I meditate, different approaches to meditation, how I applied meditation in my life. You know, there's a blog in there where I talk about my daughter at 3 years of age knew the word meditation. And then by the time she was four, she was asking me if she could meditate. And then, you know, by the time she was five, she sat down with me and meditated in silence for 15 minutes. Not because I made her, not because I tried to convince her, no. But because I was walking the walk, I was meditating, I was practicing, and my child got to see that and was inspired by that. So, you know, those spiritual seekers out there, you know, if you're a parent and you've been wondering, well, how do I spiritually parent? Well, there's ideas in this book to basically spiritually parent by being that example of spiritual awareness, by participating, by practicing. Now, you know, your child might not relate to the idea of journaling, but when they see you meditate, you know, every day or a couple of times every day, that's going to rub off on them. They're going to pick that up. So that's what I hope readers will take away, inspirational tools to apply, you know, in the real world for your spiritual journey.
Any challenging parts of writing this book, putting it together?
I think the most challenging part was, if you can imagine, you know, so it's the summer of 2013, and I've been asked, I've got to put this manuscript together, and I've got 700 blogs to choose from. And so when I did the initial export from the website, and by the way, if you want to start a blog up, it's the easiest thing to do. Starting a blog and writing a blog is not a hard thing, but going through over 700 blogs and deciding, because when I did the initial export, it was like 400,000 words. And I mean, that's like Lord of the Rings, right? I mean, that's a massive book. So the big challenge was deciding which blogs to use. And when I was preparing the manuscript, you know, it was like an editing process. There were a number of blogs I would love to have retained. And then there were some blogs I maintained because I felt that they would really support and fit and align with that idea of a journey of awakening. And, you know, right the way through to that excerpt that I read at the end where, you know, through that forgiveness letter to my father on Father's Day, it was almost like a big exclamation point to the four plus years of my awakening, because I touched in on my, you know, my childhood. And so it was like arriving at this sort of peak moment of massive forgiveness for me, massive shift.
The book title again is Know the Flow, 180 Blogs to Spiritual Awakening. Our guest today has been Carmion Owen. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jay.
How can we get copies of your book?
Well, you can get it through Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, Know the Flow, 180 Blogs to Spiritual Awakening. You can also go to knowtheflow.ca and sign up for my email newsletter as well. There's information through that as well. And so, you know, there should be no difficulty in getting it.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jay. Namaste.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is Jay Douglas Parker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we discuss a book released through Westbo Press titled The Measure of Faith. And our author is Randy Ozenbach. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell me about your book. This, I'm assuming, is a book that's religious in nature, The Measure of Faith. Tell me about the background. Why did you get motivated to write this book?
I wrote the book so hopefully people would go beyond the basic principles of salvation and thus live by faith. I have a deep concern for our families, our communities, and basically our country because of our complacency toward living by biblical principles. I truly believe, and I've gotten around a lot through Pennsylvania at least, that the majority of Americans have become lost in our self-sufficiency and we become do-it-yourself in our spiritual initiatives. And God warns us about becoming worldly-minded, and so often I see us marginalizing God's word to the tune of self-reliance and self-satisfaction. And the point is that many claim to be Christians, but they deny God's power because they truly do not know the God they claim to worship. And many try to be Christians in their own strength, and their testimony is lost in America. So I wrote the book basically to help people with salvation and then thus living by the faith that they claim.
In addition to that, you're not a preacher by trade. You have other occupations and preoccupations. You spent time growing up on a farm. You also have spent a portion of your life as a contractor. Tell us about your background.
Yes, I was raised on a farm. My father, though, was a diesel mechanic, truck driver. He passed away at the age of 49. And we were visiting a church that was had wonderful people. But I didn't really get to know God. And one day I just kept questioning myself on many of the things. I felt I was a good person, but I just felt so lost. So I started reading the Bible, and I visited a church where they really taught the Word of God. And about 1996, I became saved. I was in business at the time. I had a business going for 19 years. And I just thus got involved with different ministries, and I've grown from there. I consider myself a little bit like the Apostle Paul in the aspect only that I work for a living. I'm not a pastor at a church, who I admire greatly, but I do ministries, and I'm more out in the street type of person trying to help people.
You're not a tent maker like Paul was either.
Nope. I was a stonemason, a tile guy. Now I work in a hardware store.
Yeah, well, that was as close as you got. Tell me a little bit more about your book. Who do you think this book will appeal to? I'm looking through it, and it seems to be relatively conversational in its approach. Who's your target audience?
I think it'll appeal to the age groups of 18 years and up. Anyone could really read the book and get something out of it. I want it to help with their spiritual growth, no matter what maturity level you feel you're in. And I feel that it will take you from where you think you are to where you can be. This book can be given to a person in the need of a savior, and it can also be given to someone who desires to have more wisdom in their faith. And it can appeal to those with higher levels of maturity in the ages of 13 to 17. But my prayer is that it leads to a deeper desire to search Scripture more.
Well, from a Christian standpoint, in The Measure of Faith, your chapters titled The Reality of Faith, The Reality of Life and Death, Worldliness and Its Cause, A Father's Love, A New Life in Christ, and so on. The Heart of a Nation, that sounds like an interesting chapter. What is your perspective on the heart of a nation?
Well, I study our forefathers, the language they use, it tells me that they knew Scripture well. It's not that they didn't make mistakes, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but I believe they founded this nation on biblical principles. And that's what I would like for America again, to get back on track with our biblical roots. And they use the word virtue, which means moral excellence. And I pray that we would get back to that state in America.
Well, the process of writing your book, was this an outcropping of everyday study of the Word of God, or was this something that just came to you and you decided, I need to write this book and share my feelings and my faith?
Well, I do a lot of writing. I was actually off 2 years with shoulder problems until I got rehabilitated, but I took that opportunity, especially there, to do a lot of writing, and with being involved, I used to be involved with WANA at a very good church, and I began writing various commentaries, but much of what I write was lessons of encouragement to getting to know God better. But my deep concern for me were the road that America is taking. One day I was just looking at my writings and to use as lessons, and I noticed a pattern that could possibly be laid out for a book. And my desire is that people have an inspirational faith that is real and honoring to God. So I began organizing the writings and naming the various chapters. I discussed the possibilities with my wife and decided to go for it. And I chose West Bow Press, and it led me to, I found that through the internet, and once they were chosen, it took off.
People are going through a stressful time in their personal life and in their faith. How do we know that God feels our pain and suffering? How does He relate to us?
Well, Jesus came down from heaven to live in a human body. He dealt with all the human characteristics of pain and suffering and temptation. And through this, because God was in Christ, He knows our pain, and He can help us to overcome our weaknesses. Jesus was sinless through His ordeal, but now God can help us to overcome sin. God does not require anything of us that He knows nothing about. He knows us like we can know Him. He felt our pain through Christ's suffering. It was a two-way street. We have come to know the Spirit of God through Scripture, and God knows us because Jesus Christ lived in a body like ours. So we can relate to one another because we have learned each other, and this is why Christ can be our high priest, and we don't have to fear when we go before God with our pain and suffering because He's gone through it.
What would you like readers to take away from reading your book?
I would just like them to have a faith that is real. If they're sitting on the fence and don't know Christ as their Savior, I'd like to get them to know Him and know the sacrifice that He did for our sins, that we could have salvation. And again, for others who are not really living a Christian life and do not know Him, in Scripture, 1 John, the book of 1 John, John implores us over 39 times to know the God we claim to worship. And I want that for my fellow Americans and people throughout the world, really, that they know him and then we could live a life of faith and claim the best blessing that he has for us.
And would you call this book a devotional book or a study book or just an observational book?
I think it's a devotional book. There's over 300 passages written out, and I have a number of them just with the verse there that they can look up. I've already had readers call me and say that, boy, it inspires them just to pick up their Bible and to study more. So it's a devotional which could lead to more devotions, and I hope that people would keep going with their studies through this.
Was there a challenging part in putting this book together?
Yes. I'm not the greatest elaborator or writer. The most challenging part was not being a professional writer and then choosing words that best conveyed the message. And I admit I used Merriam-Webster's Dictionary Thesaurus, which was a blessing to me to choose words with the proper meaning. And also my publisher staff has been a great help. The most rewarding is the thought of the book helping someone who is struggling to put their trust in their Savior, whether it be for salvation or getting through life's struggle. But the additional in-depth study for the book has really instilled me also the need to do better in my Christian walk. Very refreshing to have God in my life and allow him to work through me. But the glory goes to him.
Well, as a layperson, this is an inspiring book. The title again is The Measure of Faith. The writer, Randy Ozenbach. Randy, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, and I appreciate you.
Well, tell me where we can get copies of your book.
In Barnes & Noble, through Westbow Press, through Amazon. Those are the major three.
Are you planning anything in the future as far as writing?
I always like writing, and I'm doing a writing on 1 John right now, Full Fellowship, which I am really going through with a group of people at a nursing home who are really, can get down and discouraged. And so that may be my next one. I have a lot to do with it yet, but I want people to have full fellowship with God, and that's a great book to study. And it goes back in the context of other scripture also, so we can understand the total Bible in this aspect and context. And I even go back into the Old Testament with that.
Well, thank you for sharing your story and this book of inspiration, The Measure of Faith. Randy Ozenbach has been our guest today. For Indie Book Publishing and Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.